This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go. It is hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, the 4 o'clock hour. It is time to talk some NFL draft with our draft experts, Broadus and Kavanaugh. And we're excited about this draft season coming up. Now, what happens, guys, if we get there and the Cowboys and Dak don't have a deal? If you heard the news today, the NFL and the NFL Players Union is likely to push back the tag deadline, so we could be talking about that angle for a couple of more days. It doesn't seem to matter too much for this negotiation, though. I think the next really interesting development is going to be, how do the Cowboys handle it around the draft, and what could happen at number 10, gentlemen?
Well, the right way to handle it around the draft, if you didn't have a deal done, would be to see which guys you like, and if you think one's going to make it to 10, pick him at 10, and if you don't think he's going to make it, go get him. That would be the right way to play it, but I also think because it's the Cowboys, they might play it in the super, super cocky way, which is ignore it and just assume that we'll keep Dak later if we want to, and ignore the fact that that means real free agency and competing with everybody else and just have your cowboy way about you where you think, hey, at the end of the day, he's not going to leave us. I could totally see it going that route. I think it's the wrong route to go, but I could totally see them going that route.
They're always looking to delay things. I think it's because they don't want to work too hard to accomplish it or solve it right now. They can just push it off to the next day because nobody's going to fire them. And I think that is to the detriment of the team. Let me give you this specific answer. What if you were paying attention a lot and urgently needed to have clarity this offseason? Brought us to you, Jeff, to you. Is there anything special about these guys after Lawrence? Or could they wait another class and legitimately not be making a mistake? Or do you think it would be a mistake with five guys that could go top 10 to pass on this year's class?
My guess is it would be a mistake. Now, you never know. Who did we have on? Was it Mike Tannenbaum?
Yeah.
Who said to him there's one first-round quarterback next year, and that's Keaton Slovis at USC.
USC, right.
I mean, I know a lot of other names that people talk about in college football. Sam Howell at North Carolina, Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's guys, and you never know what's going to happen over the course of a calendar year. Maybe we'll get to next year's NFL draft and they'll be like, hey, there's five dudes in here. But I have a hard time believing it's going to be a better year than this one. Now, there's also something to be said for this. What determines the outcomes for a lot of quarterbacks is where they end up. And if you're the Cowboys and you can provide a really good landing spot for a young quarterback, then maybe it could be a different guy and it would be okay. Maybe if you'd had somebody not named Dak over the last half decade, he would have been really good here because of the surroundings that you gave him at times. So I think that plays into it. But as far as who the players are, if you need a quarterback, it's this year. I don't think it's next year.
Yeah, I totally agree with Jeff. It's the one thing that you can do is all these quarterbacks have similar traits. Depending on how you want to play, if you're a team that's big on the play action stuff, the RPOs, the mobile quarterback, the guy that doesn't fit that type of thing is, in my opinion, is Mac Jones, and he's the one that's rising up the board the fastest. But he's the one to me that has the biggest unknown because I've seen him with great talent, which that's great, but I'm kind of looking at these other guys and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, hey, what's going on there at BYU? What's going on at Ohio State? What's going on at North Dakota State? You know, I mean, those guys, they're all worth first round picks to me. They are. Yeah. I have Mac Jones in the second round. Personally, I do.
But so, all four of those other guys.
Yeah,
that's a great class.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. All those four guys up there, You got Mac Jones. You got Kyle Trask. I mentioned David Mills, Davis Mills from Stanford. If you haven't seen him play, check him out. He's a 6'4", 215-pound guy. I've got seven guys on that board right now sitting between round one and round three. And I'll tell you what, all seven of those guys, okay, I think you've got a shot to play.
Maybe that's the perfect compromise, looking for a second or third round type of guy. And there are a lot of good quarterbacks that were not taken in the first round. So it's possible,
especially tough,
with what Jeff said.
It's tough. You don't get it too often. But, yeah, I mean, there are the Drew Breeses of the world that were second round quarterbacks and stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, at 877-881-1053, if you have a quarterback or draft question for Brian and Jeff, that'd be good right now. But my question for you, how big of a mistake would it be to get through this draft not having Dak signed or taking another player? And, you know, specifically at 10 is what I'm thinking, although they got me thinking second and third round options right now. That might be kind of exciting. At 877-881-1053. Franchise Dak and try to draft a quarterback with the first three picks. That's out of the 2-1-4, kind of going with what we're just talking about. So if you draft a guy, you kind of like him in camp. You got Dak signed on that tag. Once the season starts, you can trade Dak, right? Now, he could hold the card saying, I'll only agree to a deal with this, that, or the other team. He could, you know, he could shut you down a little bit, but maybe that wouldn't be the worst way of managing this whole deal. You know what I'm saying? What do you guys think about signing Dak once he has, you know, signed the tag and you have the first 6-7 weeks of the season to consider that?
Man, if he signs the tag, I'm just going to go ahead and play it out, General. I think Jeff's right. It's just the Cowboys' cavalier way of believing. You know, they've mishandled this. Unless somebody comes out and tells me that they don't really think Dak Prescott is worth that money, okay. But everything I'm hearing is, oh, no, he's our guy. He's our guy. He's our guy. We love Dak. We love Dak. He's our guy. You know, what are they supposed to say anything different? Probably not. But, you know, they sure act like that he's not their guy, you know. And I think, to me, if he's not their guy, then what you need to do is figure out, okay, if he plays on this tag or if he's play him on this tag, and then, you know, the Cowboy way will be, hey, we'll worry about that in 2022. But me personally, I would get him if he's not interested in signing long term with me, like I've told you, I'm getting him to sign the deal. I'm going to say, listen, I could send him to San Francisco. You interested? You interested in that trade right there? Because I could send you to San Francisco and get the 12th overall pick in this draft. You could get your money. You could get your team. I get my pick. I could take that pick and move up in the draft, or I could sit there and trade it for one of these established quarterbacks so I'm not letting the Chicago Bears or somebody else get a guy when I need to get a guy.
Yeah, but I think what you're talking about is having it actively managed. We're searching, we're flexible, fluid.
It's not like the Cowboys to do that, because I'm throwing it out there, because most general managers would probably do that. They would say, hey, you know what? If you're not going to sign with us, we will trade you. Who would you like us to trade you to? We'll let you negotiate that deal. You're going to trade you this team? Okay, we're going to take their pick. We're going to either move those two picks and go up and draft one of these four guys that we really, really like, or we're going to take those two picks and we're going to move to one of these teams that's having trouble with their quarterbacks right now and try and entice one of those teams. That would be a very proactive thing for a front office to do. I don't know if this one's capable of doing that.
Shots fired there from Broadus towards this front office. Out of the 202, the 2022 draft quarterback class is butt. You better sign your guy or draft your guy now if you aren't going forward with Dak. Okay.
The NFL is in an interesting place with quarterback right now. So to me, the smart way to handle that is, even if you have Dak tagged, if you don't have a long-term deal, you pick a quarterback and you pick him with your first pick. And because now what I've done is I've created more talent at the most important position in team sports.
Yeah.
To me, the worst idea is you have him tagged and you're not getting a deal worked out and you ignore it. Because then 12 months from then, when somebody offers him, oh, you wanted a 3-year deal and you're on the open market? Okay, 3 years. Oh, you want it fully guaranteed? Done. You want 45 a year? Done. And the Cowboys are like, we're not matching that, but they're the Cowboys. And to the Cowboys, Dak's going to be like, I can't really leave. I'm the quarterback of the Cowboys. But to me, that's a stupid game to play. And the better game to play is, whoops, I have too many. Then, whoops, I don't have one at quarterback.
How about for one time hold your own fate in your hands? You know, how about one time you be the proactive one to get something done? You know, how about you be the guy that says, you know what, our quarterback sucks. We're moving on from him. You know, we're going to go do something else. You know, how, I mean, and I'm not saying that Dak sucks. I'm just saying, how about go? No, I didn't say that,
That's
Jeffrey.
What I heard.
I did not say that. I mean, I might have thought it a couple of times, but I didn't say it. You know, but to me, this is where I just, it bothers me so much because you can dictate what goes on here. You know, you either sign him or you don't. If you don't want the guy, tag him and trade him, you know, or play with him. But don't. But there's a side of me, and I keep saying this. I said on the draft show the other day with me and Bucky Brooks, I said, listen, this team's just likely to go out there. They're going to tag him, play with the tag, with Dak on the tag, and wait for things to happen in 2022. That's the Cowboy way. The Cowboy way of doing things.
Unfortunately, there's not enough of a sense of urgency to get in there and insist that we come to some sort of solution or make a decision on a team, a big team decision. If it's possible to kick it down the road and delay the decision making, they will.
Oh, that's why I said the 3-year deal. I'm looking for an avenue, even though it's probably people are looking at me like 3 years, Broadus. No way. Okay. Tell me how your 6-year deal is working right now. How's your 5-year deal working right now? You got that 4-year deal done yet? You better find a solution to try and make this work, you know? And if they want a short time and you're not too sure about your guy, well, maybe that's the best thing for both parties.
Look, and if you're in year 3, if we can't figure this out, and whether it's we don't value him right or we think that his agent's being a meanie head, like whatever your problem is, if 3 years hadn't worked it out and you're still struggling, have a pair. Slap him with a non-exclusive tag.
Yeah.
You're tempting fate anyway. Just put it out there. Say,
maybe
league.
Get a couple picks.
Yeah, say, hey, league, bid on him.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think that's the thing. You know, we're trying to make sense in a world where they don't see sense right now. You know?
Yeah.
How does anybody allow their quarterback situation to deteriorate to this point? How does that happen? You know, 3 years ago, how does that happen? You know, you drafted a guy, you developed him. You know, he came from basically the ashes, you know, after everybody got hurt, and now you got this guy and you don't want to sign him. Well, if you don't want to sign him, have a plan. And you know what? I'll be happy to crawfish on all my words if all of a sudden they have a plan. If they show me after this that they have a plan, then you know what? I will be more than happy to come on these airwaves and apologize.
I think they have a plan to remain comfortable and not make too big of a deal out of anything because they own the Cowboys and life
wrong.
Is great.
You're not. There's a time where I wanted to hit you in the face for saying that.
Uh-huh.
You know, seriously, there was a time I wanted to come after you. And you know what? And I'm like, I drive home and I'm like, man, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he said that. And you know what?
And then what happened?
You know what? I apologize to you because you know what? You're right. You're right. I wish football was important again. I wish football was important in that organization to where, you know, hey, we're going to go out and we're not going to let things dictate things to us. We're going to go out and make things happen. You know, and if it is about selling seats and margaritas and parking passes and whatever else, shame on them for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, man, I think you're hitting it. I think you need a guy in the most powerful leadership positions that knows his butt is on the line and he's got to do something bold to turn around the organization. Otherwise, you start to look like a little bit of a rudderless ship. And right now, with this tag deadline coming up and then the draft, I'm with you, man. I don't expect the Cowboys to do any of those things. I expect them just to wait. And I think one of the big things they're unwilling to sacrifice is like this feeling of we're not in charge, right? I think they don't want to be pushed into doing something they really don't want to do. And for whatever reason, you know, maybe the Zeke deals and the Tank Lawrence deals like strengthen their resolve. And now that we're at quarterback, they're like, no, you know, we got pushed around twice and we're not going to let it happen again. And the fact they're doing it at quarterback but not running back or old edge rusher is startling. You know, the fact they're not even considering letting a linebacker go or a running back go who aren't producing compared to what you could get for league minimum is startling and reveals they're not doing their due diligence. You know, he's treating it like he's wildcatting out there, just buying up oil holes, and you drill down, oh, we got a gusher, everybody's rich. You can't do that in the NFL. Every contract you give out has to be worth it. And if it's not, it's a major drain on your team. Speaking of drain, guys, the Stars were down 3-0 yesterday. It appeared the game was over. They had a hell of a third to force OT, and they ended up losing 4-3 in overtime. It was over. But at least there was a heartbeat in there.
Yeah. They played the best overtime period I've ever seen a team play without winning in overtime.
Yep.
Like they could, welcome to the 2021 Dallas Stars.
They were playing 3-on-3 hockey, and they were doing full court press, and it was absolutely amazing how well they played in overtime. But unfortunately, you don't get scores for having played great in overtime. Mm-hmm. But they dominated. And then you get to shootout, and shootout don't care. Shootout says take your L.
Yeah, we got a bigger question, guys, though. Ottinger, though, he went from being the backup goalie to getting back-to-back starts. You know, that's something that has to be concerning, Hudobin and stuff. You know, maybe the bubble game, maybe all that was just too much. You know, but now you're using your backup goalie for back-to-back starts. There's something going on there, guys.
They have dropped 6 of 8 since the Storm outage. You know, maybe they just weren't ready to be that good, and then they were that good, and expectations and injuries and the weird stuff, managing success. I think they just caught lightning in a bottle, and team chemistry was in their favor in the bubble. And, you know, outside the bubble, you're dealing with teams that are more at full strength. They're rested, and now you're playing extra. I still believe long-term there's lots of talent and reasons to be optimistic here, right? They need to reshuffle the deck.
Yeah, I got an important one against the Blackhawks, I believe, coming up here tomorrow.
Tomorrow and then Thursday.
Yeah, so they've got to find a way to put some things together. This is going to be a rough stretch, a lot of games in a row, back-to-back games, stuff like that. It's going to be very, very difficult.
All righty, gents. Best of luck to the Stars. You can get this thing turned around. They still have a decent record. They're around 500.
It's been a struggle. I mean, it's been, you know, they put themselves in terrible position. They're down 3-0, and they have to fight the whole game to get back into it. And that shows you they've got the talent, they've got the desire and stuff. They just cannot finish when they need to finish.
It's exhausting to come back from 3-0 down.
It's tough. Know? It is tough, yeah.
You got there and didn't have enough to finish the fight. Here we go. It's time for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. Gentlemen, where are we headed?
Your favorite athlete couldn't pull this off. It's next.
All righty. Welcome back, Nation. It is time now for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. It is brought to you by My Computer Career, and it is brought to you by Rubin & Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. He will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Kavanaugh brought us. Have at it.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
I'm Brian.
I want to share with you guys a story about what your favorite athlete could never do. I don't care who your favorite
Richard
athlete
Petty?
Is. Yeah, Richard Petty could not do this.
Really?
No,
he could do everything.
Richard Petty couldn't do this.
Oh, jeez. It's disappointing.
I'd like to take you to my guy, Antonio Seña. He's 36 years old. He just got rescued from the Amazon jungle after surviving 36 days after a plane crash.
Ooh, I love these.
36 days.
36.
Okay, the Amazon, you do have water, and there's wildlife. You could get eaten. You know,
the wildlife thing does go both ways.
Yeah. You can eat it, but it could eat you.
There are things to eat, yeah. He lived off of birds, eggs, and wild fruit. Now, he lost some weight during this time.
Sounds like a plan.
I had to look up the translations here. He lost 4 stone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 4 stone.
You had to pass kidney stones in there as well?
Well, both of his nuts and 2 more. No, so a stone turns out is 14 pounds.
14 pounds.
So our guy lost 56 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
In the 36 days.
Was he a biggin?
He was lost. I got some pictures of him, and I tell you, he doesn't look like a big, big guy, but he looks like he's in the gym. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got some to his game.
Yeah.
But he lost some of that muscle mass, so he may want to swing by Men's T Clinic. They'll design a personalized plan just for him, get him right back to feeling like himself again. But, 36 days there. And the way that he got rescued is on day 35, he came across a group of chestnut pickers after he left the wreck of his plane to find help.
He's been pretty close to civilization, huh?
Like close enough that he ran into some people who were out there picking nuts, and they were like, "Hey, bro, you look like you've had a rough day." And he was like, yeah, I sure could use a rescue. And they were like, all right, I guess follow us or whatever. He got reunited with his family yesterday. He was on Brazilian TV.
Yeah.
And then he got taken to the hospital for a checkup. He said, the only thing that kept me strong and enabled me to come out of that situation alive was the love I have for my family.
Hmm.
The desire I had to see my parents and my brother and my sister again. It's a story of love and faith. What day do you guys die on, you think?
Well, I like to believe I could live there permanently, Jeff. We are humans of Earth, and
you
I
didn't
think,
know how to work your generator.
Yeah, I did not know how to work my generator, but things would kick in, you know? I think evolution would start to go in my favor. I think I'd get a shelter together pretty quick. I wouldn't be looking for anything. You might never find me. You'd assume I was dead.
Yeah.
But I'd be living up there like a hermit in pure peace.
You know, it's funny. I was looking for the story, and the first thing that came up were 230 hotels in Amazon jungle.
I
was wondering how this guy didn't find one. I didn't wonder. Wait, there's 230. I didn't even know there were 230 hotels.
It, bro.
What the heck? I mean, he couldn't find one of these hotels?
He was in the jungle. He was flying his Cessna 210.
Oh.
And he took off from, you can check this on your map, Brian. He took off from Alencor.
Allentown?
In the state of Para on the northern bank of the Amazon. He was going to the nearby city of Almirim. And he had to bust off a forced landing in a clearing because he had a suspected mechanical failure. And he managed to grab his rucksack that had bread and other belongings inside before the plane caught fire. But the plane did catch fire.
Okay.
So he spends about the first week right there next to his burnt out Cessna because there's search and rescue planes that are circling overhead. And so he's like, hey!
Help.
Hey! I mean, he's in Brazil, so he might be saying this in Spanish. But
hola!
Hey!
Hola!
Guys! You're doing it right! Yeah, here! Yep, you see. No?
Oh, they couldn't see him.
No. Right, so they didn't see him. So after.
Had to
about,
spell out a big SOS.
Yeah, you Salt. Had to go full Tom Hanks on it.
Yeah. Now,
so after that week, he's looking up there and he's like, I hadn't seen a plane in a while.
Yeah.
Looks like they went ahead and they chopped me up. They went ahead and called it a day on me, which is what happened.
Okay.
They called off the search and rescue. They're like, yeah, he's out of there. Don't worry about it.
You said in his sack he had bread, right?
Yeah, I don't have the other content.
No, I was just curious. I was just curious. If General was flying the plane and he's in Lint now, his Lint thing, would he eat the bread? Would he eat the bread? Or would he look at it the whole time? Just look at it.
Break Lint?
Oh, that's getting Nate. You know, God would understand that. Well, God would understand that, you know? A spiritual type of processes don't count in survival situations.
See, okay? I think that in that case, it would be God speaking directly to you and saying, I'm so proud of your Lent challenge that I want to see what you got. You know,
and because I was in Lent and had my body purified, I might receive God's message loud and clear. And if that was the case, I'd just be like, bro, point the direction. We're out of here.
I think I'd die on day two.
You'd make it longer than that.
Because there's some bread. You'd be okay? No, I think you severely overestimate.
Oh, no, you'd be fine. There's no condiments in the jungle. You'd be fine.
I've quit everything I've ever done.
Dipping?
Like, so survival, no. But, like, so my give up kicks in so fast.
Oh, really?
I can give up quicker than anybody. So I think,
but then
I would
power back up. You'd sleep on it, and be like, "Okay, I'm going to do it today." And by lunch, you'd have given up again. So it might take you twice as many days, but you'd get there eventually.
Because the wake up is like, "Okay, now what?"
Yeah.
And the now what is, I guess, you start walking in a random direction and figure out, "Hey, what's edible and what's not?" Like, I don't even know. Can my body digest leaves? Can I just be straight up herbivore on my way out of there?
So roots. I think you'd be more looking for roots.
See, but I wouldn't know that. So because I didn't know
grubs.
That, I would just be pulling leaves off trees.
Worms.
Like,
yeah.
I guess I'm not eating worms.
Bird seeds. There's fruits there in the Amazon.
See,
you know,
I would
didn't need a poison.
I've watched those Bear Grylls things before. I would eat the wrong berries. You know, he always says, like, the berries over here to the left. Don't want to eat those. The ones on the right are okay. No, I'd be over on the left side. They're getting sick.
Yeah, and it's Hunger Games style, you know?
Yeah.
Because I got news for you. 99.6% of us, probably a higher number than that, we don't have a clue. Which one is the berry of death?
Yeah.
that I'm gonna have a whole mouthful of them, and my body's gonna seize up, and it's gonna be like, well, it looks like he died 45 minutes after the plane went down. Yeah. Seemed like he was healthy, but not anymore. So I'd probably give up on like day two.
How'd our hero make it out? Was he riding the river or was he just hiking? So that'd be the coolest thing, to build a little canoe. You could go down that white water.
I mean, he's not claiming the sort of arrogance that Gavin's going with, which is like, oh, I'd come out of there 10 pounds heavier than I went in with a whole new skill set.
Yeah, you sharpen a stick like Rambo. You fly out of a tree and get a boar. Gotcha. Dinner time, baby.
Flat of a tree.
Gonna have us a barbecue up here.
I'd separate my shoulder.
The natives will come pull up on your village. Hey, what's up, buddy? Smells good over here. You got buddies and everything now at this point. 3 days in, Jeff.
He was just walking through the jungle every day, and he found enough bird eggs and fruit to not live well since he lost 4 stone, 56 pounds.
That's a lot of weight.
But, yeah, about 3:34 p.m. on day 35 or 36, he was like, yep, I was walking in the jungle, and I spotted, I got to Google a word real quick, a white tarpaulin?
Must be a vehicle.
Tarpaulin?
Tarpaulin?
Tarpaulin? A tarpaulin?
Yeah. It's like shade, right?
Yeah, tarpaulin. A little shade.
Like tarp on a baseball field.
Oh, like a tent.
Yeah, okay. So it's like day 35, 36, he sees this tent, and underneath the tent, there's a basket with chestnuts, and then there's some tools and some water. And so he was like, hey, this seems promising.
Yeah.
So he followed that particular trail, and he found all the chestnut people. And the chestnut people were like, yeah, we're alive, and we have ways out of here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Got a helicopter over here. Come on, join us.
I think the rescue crew should be in trouble. Like, what do you mean you circled for a week and didn't find him, and you made this dude walk for a
bunch of quitters up there?
36 days. You got to have 20/10 vision to be on the search and rescue chopper. You can't just be half-assing it up there. Like, yeah, look down a couple times. Getting kind of hungry. Isn't today pizza? Isn't it wing night? Let's go ahead and get back.
It's your turn to buy lunch, Bill.
This guy's dead. What the hell are we doing up here, Jim?
All right, who at the station has the best chance to get out of this? You don't know it when the plane goes down, but it is going to be 36 days of survival in the jungle. And on day 36, you're going to find the chestnut people, and they're going to take you to safety. Who makes it the shortest and who makes it the longest?
I want to throw Broadus in there. You know, he's a marathon runner. He is capable of tremendous feats of endurance and feats of strength.
I could fish, too, if I had to, I think. If I can get a line and some type of...
How would you do that, though? Because that's the challenge here.
Yeah,
you have to figure those things out.
You don't have
the whopper plopper and you're...
You got to come up with something. Again, I've seen enough of those survival things. I don't think at 57 I would do very well. I think if I was 32 or 3 years old, I'd have a better chance. Because the strength of having to pull a bunch of limbs around and make shelter and all that could be a problem. And I don't tie knots very well sometimes.
I think, you know, Lucius is a good pick.
Yeah, Lucius.
It's body weight. Military. You know, you have a lot of muscle that you can stand to lose. I bet that's how that guy lost a lot of weight, was muscle weight. So you can lose muscle but still be strong enough to continue walking. I couldn't lose much muscle, plus my left knee is arthritic. So I'd have to set up camp and live off the land or hit the river. I'd need a canoe. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to walk like more than maybe 3 or 4 miles a day, or my knee would lock up. So I'd have to take multiple days off.
So hold on.
Yeah.
Your plane goes down. You step off of it, and you just go,
ouch.
That's the new CASA right
there.
This is
home.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, There's nothing else.
We need a cave and the ability to start fire somewhere. We need a pilot fire.
Okay, Lucius, 35, 36 days in the Amazon. Do you make it?
Yeah, I make it. I don't want to do it whatsoever, but yeah, I'll make it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet against Lucius at all.
There's really a whole lot to eat in that place in the Amazon. You know, fruits, vegetables, nourishment, like the eggs.
Yeah.
You can go fishing in the Amazon River as long as you don't get eaten by an alligator or crocodile, whatever that is down there.
Now,
an anaconda might get you, but other than that, man, you're good to go.
That'd be tough.
If you come across an indigenous people, do you pull the American move of just assuming all their stuff is yours, and if you have to eat one of them, so be it?
Absolutely not. I don't do that right now.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely not.
No, they got the boiling pot waiting for you over there is what's going on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you
There's
approach?
Some tribes there that might not be too friendly.
Hell yeah, approach.
You would approach?
Yep, absolutely.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming a language barrier here. Yeah. I'm assuming you cannot communicate.
Mm-mm. So I'm stuck. Help.
They don't know what to
do. Yeah. You approach on your knees with prayer hands up.
Come on, I'll be all right. I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
Will not hurt you.
They ain't got to worry about me colonizing anything.
Okay. I'm going to go through an order here. Sean and RJ in the morning. From 5:30 to 10 here on the fan. Troy makes it 48 hours. He dies. He's got a wife that supports him. He ain't making it.
Troy's pretty strong, though. He's got extra body weight, too.
Okay, 72 hours. Troy goes 72.
Added some more, added a day, dude.
All right.
Sean goes 48 hours.
Yes.
You know Nick and Sam's in the Amazon. He'd come across those berries and record things for air later. Like, these berries suck. Not good enough for me.
I had these berries one time on my cheesecake at Nick and Sam's.
48 hours for him. Choppy would go longer just because of arrogance.
And the Diamond Cabs. You know, the Diamond Cabs could chip some miles early.
Yeah. Choppy make it. So far, Choppy, I think, is the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Go to the middays, though. I bet Basky. A determined Mike Bassick soldiered his way into the big leagues with, like, double-A talent at best. That's something to be spoken for.
I give Bassick a week and a half. I think Bassick has the best chance so far of the names.
Plus, he's been on that Peloton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike's got the cardio, and desperate Mike will do literally anything. So he'll eat whatever.
He might get pissed off so much and get frustrated, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but
I'm counting on that.
Yeah, I'm
counting on that to drive him to freedom.
Corey outlives Sean, but falls short of Choppy.
Now, if Mike finds the natives, there ain't no way he's making it out of that village alive.
That's probably true. What do you think the cause of death is in that case?
Cannibalism.
Yeah, they get him.
Okay.
Y'all are horrible.
All right.
Reggie, though, very well read, very smart, very
smart
talented.
Doesn't help.
No, smart to understand how to do things, how to build things.
Reggie does have a lot of random knowledge.
He
too,
does
so
have
he
a lot.
He might
of,
be the guy at the station who would be like, "Oh, don't eat those berries."
Yeah,
those
he would know. I think so. Yeah, that's right. Those killed Heggie. Don't eat those. Yeah.
Bassick, Lucius, Reggie.
Chris Arnold, bro. Chris Arnold.
Ooh, Chris.
Yeah, muscle milk there.
A lot of strength.
Chris goes out of there and he doesn't
lose
a pound.
He's done marathons, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris is one of those guys that found the Fountain of Youth. He's just not telling anybody
exactly.
What it is or where it is. He's mm-hmm. discovered
And he
it.
Never met a stranger. As soon as you walk into the jungle, you see somebody. Be like, oh, Chris Arnold. Nah. Come on, phone.
No way. There's the A.
Chris would know him. Chris would know him in the jungle.
Follow me, man.
Chiafalo's dead in a half hour. Woolchuck's dead in 36 hours. I die right between them somewhere. And that's it. So congratulations to Lucius and Bassick on surviving.
Indeed. There it is. Survival in the Amazon. It happened again. I'm looking forward to that movie. Sounds like a good movie. Got a good premise. It's been done, but all movies are repeats these days anyway. All right. Around the NFL is brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. The top stories from pro football coming up next in the nation. All right, welcome back, nation. It is time to go around the NFL here, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Man, it is huge. The NFL afternoon news is really burning right now, and we're going to get to as many stories as we can. Jeff wants first down, I can tell.
So I was donging around on Philadelphia Eagles Twitter.
Oh,
And I'd like to salute Jalen Hurts for his reaction. He was asked about, like, the Carson Wentz trade, and he was like, "It ain't really any of my business," which I thought was a great response. Hey, what do you want me to do? You want me to lie to you, or should we just both move on with our day?
I think it was sweet.
Yeah, I think it was a great trade. But the owner of the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie, according to Chris Mortensen, the great Chris Mortensen, is – kind of telling his personnel guys in his front office, hey, our priority this offseason is not creating competition at quarterback. It's giving Jalen Hurts the best chance to win at football. Which, if you're a Cowboy fan and that's true, I think it's a good thing. But I never know this time of year. This is the time of year where I look at Broadus and I'm like, I know you guys. You're all a bunch of liars. Like, the Eagles are going to spread all this stuff where it's like, we believe in Jalen Hurts. He's our guy. He's our guy. He's our guy. So you don't have to trade in front of us to pick a quarterback. Don't worry about us over here. Bam! Ooh. Eagles are on the clock, and they take a quarterback.
That's good poker right there. That's strong.
So Les Bowen responded to Mort on Twitter. He covers the Eagles for the Inquirer. He said, I got great respect for at Mort Report, but if the Eagles really are sure about Jalen Hurts going forward, that's a conclusion they've come to very, very, very recently, and I don't think he's produced any new tape to evaluate. So, like, yeah. They haven't played football since the end of the year, so that would be a strange thing to have happen.
I think you go back to when he was drafted. They said, look, we didn't draft him to replace Carson Wentz or create controversy. We drafted him to give ourselves the best possible chance of having good quarterback play.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's like wordplay that they're doing. You know, like, oh, our number one job isn't to create a quarterback controversy. It's to give Jalen Hurts a good opportunity to play quarterback. But if in the process of the draft a good quarterback is available, they'll say, well, it wasn't our number one priority, but here is another great chance of getting good quarterback play for our organization. And tomorrow, our priority is going to be to make sure Jalen Hurts and whoever we drafted has a great chance to be an amazing quarterback for us.
Yeah, and I think it would be a lot of fun, though, if you hired your brand new head coach and every day the first thing he talked about was we're going to have competition at every spot. And right after he finished that presser, Jeffrey Lurie called him in, and he was like, hey, I like everything you're saying, but not a quarterback.
Yeah.
So just leave that one alone.
I think you want to downplay quarterback controversy whenever possible. Just don't even let the fans and media dig into it, because it can tear a team apart. I really believe that.
Let me ask you guys this, though. Do you think this is Jeff Lurie stepping in now after what happened? Do you think Howie convinced him to get rid of Carson Wentz, and the plan was to keep Carson Wentz and try and make that work? You know now Jeff's like, listen, you stop messing around with the quarterback position now. You told me you were going to work with Carson Wentz. You end up getting rid of him. I'm eating $38 million of salary cap because of this. You think that maybe Lurie now just stepped in and said, no way. We're not going to have competition here. You told me the reason why we're moving on from Carson Wentz because you wanted this guy to be your quarterback.
I hope that's what's happening because, and I mean this with all due respect, because personally, I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. Like, I like Jalen Hurts, and I think he brings to the table some of the most important things you want, which is high-character dude that busts his ass and can be a leader. I think he has those things. I just don't think he's good enough at throwing the ball.
Yeah.
So
no,
I would love if the Eagles threw themselves behind that guy and were like, look, we can improve him as a player, and we love him as a teammate and a dude and a leader. Honestly, if that's your competition, I want them throwing in with that.
Yeah.
Brian, I'd lean on you for an answer to that question. I think what Jeff said is, you know, interesting, and it's a good take. But I'm totally confused by what's happened in Philadelphia because the story's like flip-flopped multiple times.
See, that's
since
what I'm
the
saying.
Season ended.
I wonder if Howie convinced Jeff Lurie, though, like, listen, okay, you let me be the general manager of this team. We'll figure the things out with Carson Wentz. Let me get rid of Doug. I'll get a guy in here that can help him. We'll look at somebody on the Indianapolis Colts coaching staff, bring that guy in. Maybe we'll have that, you know, we'll get Carson going again. And Jeff Lurie, I trust me, I've been in the room with him. He's one of those guys, and if you're looking at us right now on the Twitch, it's the big nodding of the head. He's the
So
he's the big nodding of the head guy. So I think something's happened here where Jeff Lurie's having to step in because of how he's kind of okey-doked him on some stuff right now. Me personally, I think that's what's going on.
So you think Howie was moving the goalposts in a way to get Doug fired?
Yes, absolutely.
He was, okay,
was.
And then once Doug was fired, yeah. then the situation changed. Now it's on to this objective. So he's
right.
Playing it like it's a Game of Thrones TV show instead of you know, trying to be consistent on all things. Yeah, that would explain the confusion. Because I like to add things up and try to get in people's minds, and it's like they flip-flopped a couple times. I'm like, I don't know exactly who likes the guy and, you know, who's using the story as a way to get other things accomplished.
I still think, though, if you're going to need to go get a quarterback, you got to get ahead of the Eagles. I'm not buying this thing. I think that you guys have got it absolutely right. I'm trying to get the three. I think Miami's the spot you need to get to be honest with you, because I'm interested to see what the Jets do it too. You could maybe get your either your second quarterback or the third best quarterback, depending on how you like. Maybe you like the guy that's the third guy is the best. Maybe maybe you're a Fields guy. You know, I know Jeff likes Fields a lot. You get to Miami at three, you get a guy like that for sure.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here around the NFL, and Brian Broaddus does have second down.
Yeah, I do. Speaking of quarterbacks, you know, the thing with Russell Wilson, well, we've got somebody speaking up in the NFC West about the situation. See what Michael Brocker said?
Yes, I did. That's
Michael
funny.
Brocker is like, you know, he was on NFL Network, this Good Morning Football. I actually saw him say this. It was actually pretty funny. That's why I pulled it. He says he hopes the Seahawks trade Russell Wilson out of the NFC West. He said, hey, you cross your fingers a little bit. You hope for whatever you hear is true. And he's out of here. So you don't have to chase him around twice a year. For the most part, he's a phenomenal player. But if he chooses to leave and leaves the division and makes it a little bit more easier for us, man, to each his own. So, yeah, he's, you know, that don't lie. Pete, I'm so happy to see Michael Brockers do this. Because everybody's like, oh, no, man, they love the competition. Oh, BS. You want all the good players out of the way. When you look at that injury report and you're thinking, oh, he's not playing this week. Oh, he's not playing this week. Oh, he's not playing this week.
I hope they get Trubisky.
Yeah, that is where you make up your mind right there. It's like, man, we got a real chance to win this week. And if Russell Wilson wasn't at the Seattle Seahawks, I know there's a lot of people in that NFC West. They would throw a party. They would come to his house and help him pack up and move him along. But I'm really glad that Michael Brockers, I know he kind of said it tongue-in-cheek, but in real life, he didn't say it tongue-in-cheek. He means every single word he just said about Russell Wilson moving on.
Yeah, you know, and Russell Wilson's still one of those players that has just got to be so frustrating for defensive linemen to try to get their hands on. You've beaten your man, you're in there, and all of a sudden he's gone.
He ducks. He kind of ducks under you, and then, you know,
You can't hurt him. He never gets hurt. But he's also good enough with his arm to torture you, you know. For a lot of quarterbacks that they talk about like this, I'm like, yes, it sucks for the defensive lineman, and the DC is seeing something he ain't used to, and the speed's hard to account for. But the super quick quarterbacks, you know, you can have those guys. Give me a guy who's slightly less fast, like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen, that can beat you with both. And then you're dealing with an absolute nightmare. But, yeah, that was funny, man. Michael Brocker is a good personality. He made multiple headlines this morning talking about a bunch of stuff. He was stoked that they got, you know, Matthew Stafford and all that around the NFL here, brought to you by Metter Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram. Tom Brady and the Bucks have good momentum on a contract extension. Guys, maybe a three-year deal.
Oh,
I saw Joel Corey tweeting on this. Maybe a three-year deal for Tommy. Wouldn't that be something?
Okay, so that'll be 46? Is next year's his age 44?
Yeah.
Five,
43
six,
now, right?
Seven?
Yeah.
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 So that's through age 47? I mean, 46. If that dude keeps – right? Because this year he was 43.
Yeah.
So next year he'll be 44, 44. And then 45, a three-year extension, 5, 6, 7.
Oh, it's an extension to his up and coming.
He's got one more year.
Yeah, he's still got a year. So, man, if you're doing that, what a great blessing for Tampa Bay if you still got 5 good years of quarterback out of a guy that the other team thought he was washed probably 3 years ago.
Oh, no, he's been washed for the last 5 years, according to those site. Remember that one site?
I've never said that. I always thought that he was great and had a lot of good years left.
7 years ago, the Boston Globe, after they lost Monday Night Football to the Chiefs. Yeah. Remember we were up there at Baby Dolls, Jeff? They were all about it the next day.
I don't.
Or maybe that was a Sunday night game. Yeah, I don't remember too much of it either. But I do remember that storyline being big that day. And it was like, man, you know, this thing here with Tom, is it really over? Is Kansas City with Alex Smith really beat him up that night? But here they are, and Tom Brady continues to play well. And I think now that he's into his 40s, I don't know when the next big cliff is, where he would hit an age where his body drops down another when it comes to muscle tone and balance and all those things that 100. He has held off so far.
Yeah. I think is maybe he needs to. Yeah, we could fly him into the Amazon, drop him there and see what happens. Kind of a deal.
He'd walk out with a perfect tan like 3 days
He'd
later.
He'd look great.
Yeah. Gerald McCoy says he'd love to return to Tampa and does expect to be a full go for camp. There is that story there. A Steelers website story suggested Chase Claypool has diva tendencies.
Oh, no.
He's probably not going to react too well to that. The Seahawks are releasing Carlos Dunlap, a defensive end. $3 million roster bonus is coming due here later on this week or when free agency starts.
They're saving $14 million on that.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Man,
right there
was a time at Cincinnati, that whole Cincinnati, my team at Cincinnati was really good with that defensive line, and now it's kind of like, ugh.
He has 87.5 career sacks, 6.5 last year, you know? So, yeah, he can still produce. All right, coming up next, G-Bag Nation, we are off into the 5 o'clock hour. Last week, there was a report that Tank was going to restructure. Brian has an update on who the Cowboys really want to restructure, plus another star player they really want to have the flexibility to move on from. This is really good Cowboys team-building stuff. Plus, we have a story of how the NFL teams are anticipating they're going to be dealing with the most unique offseason in league history. That and more coming up next right here in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.